Good afternoon, Bristol Bay. It is By the Bay for Friday, May 15th.
Today, we're going to break down just what is required in Dillingham.
A group of senior state officials visited Bristol Bay, specifically Dillingham, Igigik, and Naknek King Salmon yesterday to discuss the community's healthcare needs and assistance from the state ahead of the fishing season.
Alaska Airlines is set to start flying into the region next Monday. All that coming up.
You're listening to By the Bay with Izzy and Tyler.
You sure are. And we're going to kick things off with a look at that visit from state officials. It was a state delegation, and it also included a representative of the Department of Homeland Security. In an effort to address those concerns about outside workers and fishermen bringing COVID-19 to the area, the state is working to support rural health organizations and communities as people travel to those areas for the fishing season. The group yesterday visited three seafood processing plants and met with local health professionals as well as city and tribal leaders, all while social distancing. Communication between the state and communities in Bristol Bay was the name of the game at the Bristol Bay Borough's town hall with the delegation last night. Caleb Westfall, a Dillingham resident, asked at the town hall meeting what the city of Dillingham should provide in order for the state to start sending resources to the community. Dr. Ann Zink, the state's chief medical officer, said they are working to tailor their assistance to each community.
So we got specifically a list today from Dillingham saying these are things that are needed. I think that finding ways to be able to connect the medical community in to make sure that we're really kind of understanding those resources and what can be used. There was a lot of good conversation today about what ways we can also share better with the community on what we're doing so people understand things like evacuation plans and education plans and how we're testing in Anchorage prior to people coming out and what additional ways we're getting testing resources. We've kind of just been running in front of this marathon, in front of this wave as fast as we can, and sometimes we don't do as good a job as we could to circle back and make sure people know what's been going on. I think that all of the questions and concerns were incredibly important today and very relevant and very meaningful. We received a lot of good information from the community that we really appreciated today.
Greg Marks Miller, also of Dillingham, asked what the state's evacuation plan was for active cases in the region and what its policy is for people who have had the virus but are no longer contagious. Heidi Hedberg with the Division of Public Health said the state's approach was focused on quarantine and testing.
And so if there is one positive case, that's when public health nursing is notified, along with EPI. They immediately go into an outbreak investigation and contact tracing. They have been doing it within 2 hours. The goal is 24 hours, so we've been exceeding our goal. And that's when we contact every single person that has come within close contact, which is defined as within 6 feet for more than 10 minutes. And then we want them to get tested, right? And so it's all about that containment of the virus.
If a person tests positive, they will be monitored. If they require additional care, they will be medevaced out. Dr. Zink said that they would be following the same protocols as medevacing people out for other health emergencies.
The difference is we have been working very closely with the private medevac companies and National Guard to make sure that they know how to safely transport somebody that is COVID positive, because there are additional measures that have to take place.
Testing in villages is also a concern. Dennis Andrew Sr. of New Stuyahok asked when the state would be able to provide thorough testing in smaller communities around the region. Dr. Bob Anders, chief medical staff with ANTHC, said that BBAHC is working to equip villages with testing capabilities, and that training is available on ANTHC's Community Health Aid website. Adding that, to conserve PPE, it might be beneficial for the patient to administer the test themselves under the supervision of a health aide.
So I think they've gotten a total of 7 ID Now units, which are the small portable units, not high volume testing, but would allow a positive result in those cases. And doing low volume village-based clinics with the community health aides could be done, but also sending out kits that could be sent back to ANMC if you had higher volume needs.
There was also a question about financial aid to small businesses around the region, especially since state and local mandates are discouraging people from doing a lot of things they would normally do in the summer. Ben Stevens, the governor's chief of staff, said the Federal CARES Act has allowed the state to set up programs to help small businesses. He said that depending on how big the business is, it can use what's called a Paycheck Protection Act or disaster assistance funds.
For small businesses in small communities, there's another program that we have with the state, two programs. One's called the Alaska Safe Program that can go up to $2 million. And then there's another program that's limited to businesses that have less than 50 employees. That's as little as $5,000 up to $100,000.
He said that information is all available on the state's website. Dr. Alex Eastman, the chief medical officer of operations for the Department of Homeland Security, stressed the federal government's commitment to operating the fishery safely.
We believe that this can be done safely with appropriate precautions and mitigation steps intact as to not overwhelm or have a meaningful impact on the health of Alaskans and on the healthcare infrastructure of Bristol Bay and of the state of Alaska.
Dr. Zink said at a news conference Monday that the state is collaborating with federal agencies to secure additional testing for areas like Bristol Bay. Here's what she said at the news conference.
We are in the process of shipping those out to many of our rural locations right now to make sure that communities have that testing capacity there in location.
Zink said the state is sending a Cepheid machine to Cordova, where the red salmon fishery kicked off this week. In Bristol Bay, the city of Dillingham, as well as several tribes, have asked the state to consider closing the fishery, citing the influx of outside workers. But in April, Governor Mike Dunleavy released a series of guidelines for commercial fishermen, and the state remains committed to keeping the fishery open. Zink was one of several senior medical officials traveling to communities around the state this week. Dr. Alex Eastman, the senior medical operations officer with the Department of Homeland Security, was part of the group. He said Monday that the department would be ready to respond to any requests by the state for assistance during the upcoming fishing season. The Department of Public Safety said last week that 20% of Alaska Wildlife Trooper Force would be based in Bristol Bay this summer. In addition to responding to service and search and rescue operations, wildlife troopers are charged with educating fishing crews on how to follow the state's health and safety laws. DHSS Commissioner Adam Crum said during Monday's news conference that the increase in trooper presence is standard for the fishing season.
Prior conversations, we've had discussions about bringing in folks and other outside agencies to help with the locals in just managing the influx of individuals as they travel and educate them on the quarantine principles that may be in specific regions, and also just to make sure that they're doing everything that they have agreed to in the Park Health Mandate 17. So
that additional enforcement would be separate from the state troopers currently set to come to the region this summer. Still, according to the Department of Public Safety, troopers will monitor and encourage all fishery participants to comply with all state of Alaska issued health mandates related to the COVID-19 pandemic.
Dillingham City Council passed several ordinances at a council meeting last Friday. The council worked late into the night, voting over 4-plus hours of discussion. Three of the ordinances they passed are COVID-19 related. One extends the mandatory 14-day quarantine in Dillingham and social distancing to June 29th. It applies to outside workers coming in for the fishing season and to anyone coming into Dillingham who hasn't quarantined outside of the city prior to their arrival.
Interesting. So I listened into that meeting last week, and people don't have to necessarily quarantine inside the city limits, right?
That's right. As long as that person quarantined in a supervised and approved location like a fishing vessel, conics, or encampment. Also, if they have taken two COVID-19 tests outside of Dillingham 10 days apart that are negative, it can void the quarantine requirement in the city.
So what are the requirements like for people who do quarantine here? Is there mandatory testing? I know that's been a big question,
yes,
in the community.
Yeah, the tests are required if they want to come out of quarantine in Dillingham. They're required to take the test on day 13 of quarantine, and that's effective May 22nd. Until then, there's an option to shorten quarantine by taking two tests. The first test can be taken outside of Dillingham, and the second must be taken at least 3 days after arrival. A negative result will officially end the quarantine for that person.
And if it's positive, they must isolate for another 14 days and monitor for symptoms. What is a permissible quarantine location in Dillingham? Where can people go?
So the city is also including fishing vessels, conexes, an employer-supervised location, or a city-designated site like a Dillingham-approved residence. The only people allowed to enter those locations are those who are quarantining there or to go and get medical supplies.
And it also looks like masks are required for public buildings now. Could you break down the mask-wearing discussion, debate, and what is actually required?
Sure thing. The city is mandating that masks are required for city facilities. Private businesses may turn people away if they do not wear a mask. And the mask material can be a variety of things. Mm-hmm. It could be cloth, silk, linen, surgical, N95s, towels, t-shirts, you name it. Whatever the mask is, it needs to be secured around the nose and mouth. If people do not comply, fines could be issued.
Okay, cool. Thanks for that overview. What else did the council pass?
Well, Dillingham is moving forward with the single-use plastic bag ban, which was first introduced last fall. Stores and restaurants will be prohibited from storing plastic bags.
And what defines a single-use plastic bag?
It's any bag made from plastic that is not compostable, like a grocery bag. But no need to fret, the ordinance will not be in effect until New Year's Eve this year. The city also passed and adopted a remote seller's tax. We spoke with Todd Larson, city manager of Dillingham, back in February about the ordinance.
Because you have these huge corporations like a Walmart or an Amazon or, you know, those, you know, we all order some of the stuff online, but there's no sales tax associated with that that helps the city. But no, this anyway, bottom line with this is we put a resolution in. Alaska Municipal League is running a commission and we'll collect the sales tax for the city of Dillingham and remit it. That will kind of replace some of our declining revenues in that area.
And finally, the city passed an ordinance that mandates hygiene standards for public facilities as the economy slowly begins to reopen. The ordinance restricts anyone who hasn't quarantined in or outside of the city limits, showing symptoms of COVID-19, or has not received a negative test within 72 hours of arrival from entering public buildings.
We'll have links to the full ordinances at kdlg.org. You can also find them on the City of Dillingham's website.
Now turning to the east side where we were last night for that town hall meeting with state representatives, the Chamai Health Center in Naknek is ramping up its testing capacity. It's currently testing residents and seasonal workers. It has conducted around 400 tests so far, and Mary Swain, the clinic's executive director, says they are expecting to administer a total of around 800 tests by the end of next week. Swain says they are working with the state to ensure that state labs can handle additional testing for seasonal workers.
That mandate is in draft form right now, and we're testing the process for the state to see how it'll work long term and once the bigger crowds come to town.
Chamai is opening an additional testing center in the first week of June that will allow for walk-up testing and drive-through testing. The clinic is currently testing people by administering nasal swabs. They also have a rapid test or point-of-care machine, and Swain says they're expecting another machine next week.
However, the testing supplies for all of those point-of-care machines are pretty limited, not only in the state, but throughout the nation. And so several of those tests we will hold off a supply of so that we can test symptomatic people and not asymptomatic people. And that way, if we do happen to get an outbreak or anything out here, we can do contact testing as well as, you know, if they need to do a large group and need to know right now, that we'll be able to handle that.
Swain says they are preparing for the state to require all processors to get tested at least 3 times during the season. For the clinic, that would mean administering around 30,000 tests. Swain says the state has committed to providing those testing kits to the clinic for them to comply with any additional testing requirements. Chamai has a regular staff of 12, and Swain says they are working on a plan for how the clinic will handle the additional work.
That is the biggest question. We have hired a team specifically for testing, and at this point it's 4-person teams. What we're doing right now, we're using our existing staff and doing it in a controlled environment, controlling the groups that we can do so that we can make sure that we get everything sent out in a timely manner and it's not delayed.
beginning June 1st, there will be staff dedicated solely to running the testing center, which will be located near the clinic, along with a 20-foot container fitted out as a basic emergency room. If an outbreak occurs in a processing plant, Swain says that the state will contact Samaritan's Purse, an evangelical aid organization, which will provide the borough with a 25-bed field hospital and the necessary staff to operate that hospital within 48 hours. And I talked to Mary Swain for more details on how Chennai Clinic is working with the state to test out testing capacity, to see how the state labs will handle the increase in testing and what they are doing in the coming days and weeks. Here's that conversation. What is the situation right now in Naknek, King Salmon, in the Bristol Bay Borough in terms of health facilities and testing?
Right now, currently, we are testing as many people that need tested in the processors to comply with mandates. They need testing either before they get here, once they're here, and then again right before they get out of quarantine. That mandate is in draft form right now, and we're testing the process for the state to see how it'll work long-term and once the bigger crowds come to town. And so we've been working with the state very closely on this and trying to figure out the process, make sure the lab in both Anchorage and Fairbanks can handle the testing that we're doing as far as getting them resulted in a timely manner and that we don't overtax their capacity. The other thing that we're doing is we will be opening a testing center. It will be open right around the 1st of June. Within that first week of June, we will be able to do drive-through testing, walk-up testing, as well as schedule larger groups. In that facility, we'll be able to test both point of care as well as the lab ones. Currently, we're sending most of our tests to the lab, and we aren't doing any point of care yet. We will have that training this week, and then those machines will be up next week. And then the following week, we have a 16-port point of care test machine that we will have installed next week. And then we can do 16 at one time, and we'll get those results in a matter of 45 minutes. However, the testing supplies for all of those point-of-care machines are pretty limited, not only in the state but throughout the nation. And so several of those tests we will hold off a supply of so that we can test symptomatic people and not asymptomatic people with those tests. And that way, if we do happen to get an outbreak or anything out here, we can do contact testing as well as, you know, if they need to do a large group and need to know right now, that we'll be able to handle that.
How many tests has Chennai conducted so far?
I do know that in a week's time, we've done 295. All combined, I believe we're right at the 400 test range, and we should be probably at 800 by the end of next week.
So you got the Abbott and the Cepheid, and those results come back fairly quickly. And then the swabbing method, you have to send to the state lab to get a result back.
Right, Abbott within 15 minutes and the Cepheid within 45.
Chennai is expecting to have the capacity to administer up to 30,000 tests this summer. And I was just wondering how Chennai is approaching that in terms of personnel and, you know, and just manpower in general.
That is the biggest question. We have hired a team specifically for testing, and at this point it's 4-person teams. What we're doing right now, we're using our existing staff and doing it in a controlled environment, controlling the groups that we can do so that we can make sure that we get everything sent out in a timely manner and it's not delayed. However, beginning the 1st of June, we will have dedicated staff to just running the testing center and doing that.
Are you expecting test kits from the state to help you fulfill the mandate requirements if they do require testing?
Absolutely, and they have committed that they will.
So how many people are working with you guys now, and how many people are you bringing on to help with that testing?
Regular staff members, we have 12 here in the building. We have 2 additionals that start, and we're bringing on 5 to 7 additional MAs as well as 7 additional medical providers.
Okay, so quite a few more people coming in, and you are expecting to have about 30,000 tests administered throughout the season?
Correct, and we get that number by mandate. There's a draft mandate coming out that's going to tell processors that they are going to have to do some kind of testing within their quarantine periods, and it can look multiple different ways, but I'm ramping up for if they pick that they have to have 3 tests while they're on the ground here, that's what we're gauging our numbers on, and one of those is they would have to be tested within 48 hours of arriving into their bunkhouse. again at day six, and again at 48 hours prior to the end of their 14-day quarantine. And so potentially we could be testing all processors at least three times during the season, if not more, if somebody becomes symptomatic around them.
Practically, you know, thinking about that mandate and the amount of seasonal workers coming in, how is Chamai, as a relatively small operation, approaching setting up for the season?
So multiple things. One, we purchased what is called an ER in a can, and that is a 20-foot container that is fitted with the equipment needed to run a basic ER like we have in our facility now. And that will be placed outside behind our building. That way it will keep it kind of out of our clinic. It can be a very controlled environment there. The reason we're moving the testing out of the building is for the same thing. We want to control the environment, control how the flow of people go through, control how cleaning happens, control the hours, all of those kinds of things. Outside of that, we are bringing in an 11 and 8-man, they call them man camps. They're container vans that are made to be living facilities, and they use them up on the North Slope. We're still working on the complete algorithm of who we put there and how and when. But the majority of people, if they belong to a processing plant, they have designated quarantine and isolation spots inside of their plants. They had to do that in order to be able to operate this year. If they're in a SetNet camp, they're considered a family unit just as you or I would be with our family inside of our home. So they would be contained in their family unit. And they consider the same thing for a fishing boat. That's why we've limited it to just 19 beds, because that's what we feel comfortable as a staff that we can handle. Outside of that, if we get a positive case in a processing plant, and that's going to be our trigger, is if we get a case in a processing plant, we have the ability to call the state director of health, human health and services, and she will activate the Samaritan's Purse Field Hospital, and they can be out here within 24 to 48 hours and have a 30-bed field hospital ready with all the doctors and nurses to run it.
In terms of the fishing fleet, are there plans in the borough to test fishermen as they come in?
We as a clinic will test anybody that wants to come in for a test. And then the borough, as far as I know, is operating under whatever the mandates are. So if the mandate says that a fisherman needs tested, we will have the capacity.
As we wrap up this conversation, I'd just like to know how you're feeling and how you're, any concerns that you have as June approaches.
I think everybody's pretty on high alert right now, and I have to say that the staff here has, beginning in February, have really taken on the ownership of making this plan work. We couldn't spend any energy on the political should we not have fishing. We knew that we needed to prepare for worst case scenario, and to us, worst case scenario is fishing was happening, and what were we going to do if that happens? So we never got into the battle of if fishing is going to happen or not happen. We spent 100% of our time since February working on a plan so that we can protect the community, we can protect the elders, and we can protect all the fishermen and processors that come in. We consider them all part of the community, no matter where you're from. If you come here, you're part of our community, and we are going to do anything and everything we can to make sure that everybody has a safe and healthy season, whatever that looks like for them.
Mary Swain, thank you so much for taking a few minutes to talk.
Absolutely. You have a great evening.
Now in some exciting airfare news. Alaska Airlines announced on Monday that year-round services in Bristol Bay will start next Monday, May 18th. Alaska Air in Dillingham is scheduled to fly 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. The airline will fly 2 days a week in King Salmon on Tuesdays and Thursdays. This will be the first commercial service to Bristol Bay in more than a month. Raven Air was formerly the only company with year-round operations to the region. It shut down all operations, laid off its staff, and filed for bankruptcy April 5th due to a steep reduction in travel amid the COVID-19 pandemic. Alaska Air also announced that full freighter options will be available for both King Salmon and Dillingham in the coming weeks. The airline will also start flying in Cold Bay on May 16th. Tickets went on sale on Monday.
You're listening to By the Bay with Tyler and Izzy.
And that's all, folks, for the show on this Friday afternoon. We're going to take a look at the weather, and we have some community announcements coming up for you.
Absolutely. Currently in Dillingham, it's 53 degrees with a few clouds. Winds are north at around 13 miles per hour. Today, we'll get some more cloud coverage. Highs will be in the upper 40s to mid-60s, and east wind to 20 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy. Lows in the upper 30s to mid-40s, and east wind at 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow, Saturday, partly sunny. Highs in the lower 50s to lower 60s. A variable wind to 10 miles per hour. In the marine weather forecast in Bristol Bay, today a northeast wind, 20 knots, seas at 3 feet. Tonight, a northeast wind, 15 knots, becoming southeast after midnight, seas at 2 feet. From Port Hyden to Cape Sarachef, today a northeast wind, 20 knots, seas at 3 feet. Tonight, variable winds, 10 knots, except northeast, 15 knots. From Port Mahler East, seas at 3 feet. In the tide forecast at Clark's Point, low tide will be at 5:24 p.m. at 3.6 feet. High tide will be at 11:06 p.m. at 15.5 feet. At the Naknek River entrance, low tide will be at 6:13 p.m. at 2.6 feet. High tide will be at 10:49 p.m. at 16.5 feet. And at the Igikik River entrance, low tide will be at 4:34 p.m. at 3 feet. High tide will be at 9:38 p.m. at 13 feet. Now looking at the forecast up in Unalakleet. It's currently 52 degrees with sunny skies. Today, some cloud coverage, then becoming a little more cloudy this evening. A high of 56 degrees, winds northeast at 10 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight, considerable cloudiness, a low of 43 degrees, winds northeast at 10 miles per hour. And tomorrow, cloudy, high of 53 degrees, winds northeast at 10 miles per hour. Over in Naknek right now, it's 55 degrees with some cloudy skies. Today, sunshine and clouds mixed, a high of 58 degrees, winds east at 20 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy this evening with more clouds for overnight, a low of 39 degrees, wind southeast at 15 miles per hour. And tomorrow, mostly cloudy, high around 55 degrees, wind southwest at 15 miles per hour. It's a lot of 15s. What's going on in the community, Izzy?
Okay, so we're going to start off community announcements with an announcement from Wells Fargo. Beginning on Monday, they are extending their hours to 4 p.m. That's Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's drive-thru only, and you can see a banker by appointment only. You can contact them at 842-5284 for any questions. JJC Enterprises is starting their work on the city waterline project in Dillingham on Monday at 7 a.m. During that time, they'll have signs in place as well as sectioning off their work areas with plastic red fencing. JJC will be starting on the project next to the barge access road, and they ask that drivers and pedestrians please use caution and be alert to what is going on in that area while they're working. If you have questions or concerns, call the project manager, Greg Kelly, at 843-3991 or traffic safety supervisor Crystal Parrish at 843-9679. Either of them will do their best to address your questions and concerns. Dillingham Volunteer Fire Department and Rescue Squad are looking for volunteers. If you're interested in reducing social isolation, stress, and chronic pain, and increasing physical fitness, social connection, and sense of purpose, you can apply to be a member of the Dillingham Volunteer Fire Department and Rescue Squad. Those are their words. Applications can be found online at the City of Dillingham website, at the City Hall, or the Dillingham Fire Department. If you have any questions, contact the Dillingham Fire Department, 842-2288. Neshigat Cooperative is holding its regular scheduled board meeting Tuesday, May 19th at 7 p.m. in the Neshigat Cooperative Conference Room. And you can also call in or join that meeting via Zoom. Contact Neshigat for more information on how to do that. Finally, the Bristol Bay Borough has installed a locked drop box in the front lobby for community convenience. If you need to enter the building, call first to make an appointment, 246-4224. And that is all for community announcements, the weather, and the show for this Friday. Next Friday will also be our last show until the fall as we start gearing up for the fish report this summer. And we're very, very excited to welcome the new summer reporter next week. Kendra Kapotik is joining our team, so make sure to tune in and hear her on air next week and on the show next Friday. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Yes, take care.